Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have never yet seen nor heard of a single child being born into this world with a tennis racket in his hand. That even goes for the children of tennis greats Andre Agassi and Steffi Graf. Now, those children may have been born into this world with a silver spoon in their mouth, but they weren't born with tennis rackets in their hand. And thus, if those children are ever going to learn to play tennis, they themselves will have to be taught how to play. Even though they were born to two of the best tennis players to ever live, they didn't come into the world knowing how to play. They weren't born with some kind of tennis gene that they automatically knew the game of tennis. And thus they, like every other person born, if they're going to learn to play and learn to play well, they're going to have to be taught. The same thing could be said of football players or chefs or doctors or plumbers and the like. Children don't come out of the womb with a helmet on their head or a spatula in their hand or a stethoscope around their neck or a wrench. Whatever profession or job or hobby that they will eventually do, they are going to have to be taught. Even in the cases of those child prodigies that we every once in a while read about, those children somehow just know how to play an instrument or can do amazing math computations. Even they can be and need to be taught if they are going to hone and perfect or improve their gifts. And so it is that we are not born into this world knowing how to love and to serve God. We're not born knowing how to be His disciples. That's something that we must be taught, and on a continual basis. You know, one of the most frustrating things for me in teaching others is when I come across a child or an adult who thinks they already know all that there is to know. Especially, I've had that experience in tennis. Some children, because they've had one or two lessons, think that they are now accomplished tennis players and that there's nothing more for them to learn. And such children will never really be tennis players. Because to become a tennis player, you have to become a student of the game, which means that you have to be willing to be taught. You have to recognize that there's always more to learn. And that's why the top tennis players in the world, even they have coaches. Coaches to teach them things that they don't yet know, or to remind them of things that they might have since forgotten. I once heard, and you may have heard this before too, that Bobby Knight, the legendary basketball coach from IU and then Texas Tech and such, that he used to tell his players at one of the first practices when he had them that he had already forgotten more basketball than they would ever know. And if they didn't believe that, and if they couldn't accept that, then they probably weren't going to play for him. See, he didn't want athletes playing for him who already thought they knew all that there was to know about the game of basketball. He wanted athletes who were students, who were eager to learn what he had to teach. When he had young men with that kind of teachable spirit, he had young men who could become basketball players. In some of Jesus' final words to his disciples, as he commissioned them to disciple the people of the world, he told them to do it by baptizing them and by teaching them everything that he had commanded. And learning everything that Jesus had commanded cannot take place in 8 years of Sunday school, or 2 years of confirmation, or 3 hours of an information class. Being discipled in what Jesus taught is a lifelong pursuit. Now, it began for most of us on the day and in the moment of our baptism. And unfortunately, for many in our church body, it ended on the day of our confirmation. There's far too many people in our church body who think that they already know all they have to know because they've been to confirmation class. They really don't need to be taught anything more. That simply is not true. In the Great Commission, Jesus did not command his disciples to go into all the world and, as is often translated in English, to make disciples. You see, had he done that, their job and our job as the church would be and would have been accomplished the moment that a child is baptized. Because at that very moment, in the child's justification before God, that child becomes a disciple. There'd be no need to teach that child anything else because we would have already accomplished what Christ sent us to do, namely, to make of that child a disciple. But that's not really what Jesus said in Matthew 2, chapter 28, even though that's how it's often translated. Jesus' command to his disciples and thus to us as his church was not to make disciples, it was to disciple all nations, which is an ongoing process. And the way that Jesus said that we do this discipling process is by baptizing and then by teaching. Because the aim is not in producing an end product. It's in conducting a process. It's ongoing. It never ends. As long as a person is alive in this world, we are to be discipling that person. And as long as we are alive in this world, we are to be being discipled by other Christians. And thus we, as a church, are both the bearers and the recipients of Christ's commission to disciple all nations. For as the church, we're the ones who are called and commissioned to disciple others. And as the all nations, that which we were before we came to know Christ as our Savior, we're the ones that the church is called to disciple. And why do we do this? Because Christ commanded it. For it's through the teaching of everything that he has commanded us that we learn to know of his great love for us. It's through this discipling process that we begin to understand more fully the kind of love that God would have his own son go to a cross to suffer and to die to pay for our sins, that we might know his forgiveness. It's through that discipling process that we begin to understand more fully that Jesus has risen from the dead, and he has conquered death for each and every one of us, and that he has gone before us into heaven to prepare a place for us. In our Old Testament reading today, we read how God commanded his people to teach his words and his laws to their children, that they were to talk about them and to reference them and to recite them wherever they could. At all times, this teaching of their children was to be an ongoing, never-ending process. And so it is with Christ's commission to us also. He left us with the command to disciple all the people of this world, not only those outside these doors who don't yet know about him, but also those inside these doors who already do know about him, namely each other and our children. And thus the education hour on Sunday mornings here at Christ, both for our children and for us as adults, our midweek Bible study, which is going to get going this week on Thursday morning at 10 a.m., our confirmation class, our men's Bible study, our Eunice Guild, our small group studies, etc. They are all an essential part of our church's ministry. And they are a necessary response to Christ's command. We cannot follow Christ's command to disciple all nations if we are unwilling to teach all that he has commanded us. And that's why today we take time out of our normal schedule to rally around our Christian education ministry. It's an aspect of our ministry that we dare never see as simply an addendum to what we do here at Christ, but always as an essential part of our ministry. God has called us through baptism to be his disciples. He has washed us of our sins, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has discipled us by what we've been taught through others. And he has commanded us now to be the ones who teach and who disciple others. May we never take this command and this commission for granted, or think that we've already mastered it. But may we continue this process each and every day here at church and in our homes, as well as throughout our lives. That process of both being discipled by others and of discipling others. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.